From the neon lights of the club to the harsh buzzing lights of the office, don't let the wear show on your face. Just swipe Maybelline Instant Eraser Concealer to erase the night before, wherever that happens to be. Instantly cover dark circles and under eye bags for a brighter, more awake look. This do-it-all formula also contours, corrects, and highlights, all while staying lightweight, crease-resistant, and smooth. It may be the world's greatest eraser. Find your shade of Instant Eraser Concealer at your local retailer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Tony Brisky joining you today. Jenny Brisky has the day off with illness, and I should probably be having the day off with illness as well. But the idea of letting a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old do this show all by themselves just probably would not put us up for Parents of the Year. So I am here. I have you guys and your calls today. Thank you for sharing your stories. We will go through a lot of those today because hearing you guys share stories versus me trying to hack up a lung trying to read your stories today is probably the better of the two options. And we still get new ghost stories, so it's a win-win. Always like to try and do the show no matter what. Rain, sleet, storm, scurvy, rabies, whatever the case may be. So here I am. As you know, our phone number 855-853-4802. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you're one who really enjoys the stories that I read, thank you. As soon as I'm not hacking up a lung, I can get back to doing more of those. But I can tell you, we have a big archive of those things you can go to right now in our EPP section. At Real Ghost Stories Online, click Become an EPP. Majority of those episodes are all read by me, and if you're craving that, go ahead and binge away. Sign yourself up. More than 80 episodes there to thoroughly enjoy. So check that out. Let's get right to it today. Go to our first caller here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear your story.
Hey guys, I had an experience only yesterday, and once I realized it was a paranormal experience, I thought I had to call you guys. So this is what happened. I was driving home from work. It was very late. It was around 3 a.m. And I'm on a road that is usually very, very busy during the day. But there was no one else on the road this night. So I'm driving, and all of a sudden in my headlights, there is a man who sprinted right in front of my car. He is an African-American man dressed from head to toe in all black clothing. So I slam on my brakes, and I was so convinced that I'd hit this man, even though I didn't feel an impact. There was just no way I didn't hit him. So I actually felt so sick in my stomach, I threw up because I thought I had just killed someone. So I get out of the car after that lovely experience, and I'm looking all around. Can't find him anywhere. There's big fields on either side of the road I was on, so, and I didn't see him in the fields. There would be nowhere for him to hide, even if he had gotten away by some miracle. And I called the police because I didn't want it to turn into a hit and run situation or anything like that. But just to be safe, I called the police. And they get down there, and I'm pretty hysterical. And they know right away. They're like, "Dude, so you think you hit a man by any chance? Was he an African-American male dressed in all black?" And I was like, "Yeah, how did you know?" And they're like, "This, you're actually the second person to have this experience. And a man of that description was killed on this road only a few months back." So it was just insane. And there was even like a little memorial for him under the road sign right up the road. So just thought I would let you guys know. Thanks for this podcast. I absolutely love it. Makes my day go by way faster. Have a good one.
Doesn't get a whole lot creepier than an experience like that. Just a short, succinct story that really encompasses a whole lot of things that make you go, "Huh? Is this really happening to me?" My goodness. And what's interesting, too, is it sounds like the police department was fairly well-versed in this this situation happening. And not too putting off by it, either. Not like, "Oh, there's no such thing as ghosts." And it's like, "Yep, this shit's happening." It's happening again. Question is, do you think it was a conscious entity, or was it some sort of residual thing replaying itself over and over and over, and she just happened to have the pleasure then, or lack thereof, of having to experience it? Thank you for sharing your story with us. Our number, 855-853-4802, here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name's Eric. I'm a truck driver out of Chicago. My friend, also named Eric, ironically, recently showed me your show and become addicted since. Very good. Me and my friend Eric actually used to do paranormal research when we were teenagers, and I got a lot of good stories from them, but this is actually from when I was younger. I've always seemed to be more perceptible to ghosts, I guess you could say, or spirits. But my mother always told me this story about when I was a child. I would sit on the top of my bunk bed and I'd be talking to someone who was not there with me, clearly. But I would always tell my mother, "Oh, it's the woman, the old woman." And, you know, my mom would shrug it off. It went on the longest time. I was probably 4 or 5 at the time. Well, my parents eventually, I don't know why, had switched bedrooms with my two brothers and them. So we were in the front room, the front bedroom house that is, and they were in the rear bedroom. They had switched us so that way me and my two brothers were in the rear bedroom at the time, and they were in the front. This is where things kind of get strange, but I remember vividly, clear as day, that's probably 6 or 7 started happening again. And I would, any time I would enter my mother and father's bedroom, I would have what I could only describe as a daytime night terror. It was terror. That's what terror. I would walk in the room, I'd sit on the bed, and almost as if the night terror had taken over me, gone into sleep paralysis during a woken hour. And it felt like the world falling away from me as I was getting smaller and I was getting larger. And I can only attribute this to the fact that most of the paranormal things I was experiencing as a child had gone away when I switched to the rear bedroom, outside of a handful of small things. But that was just one of the many stories. They're just very, very terrifying, honestly. I still remember today, like yesterday. There was another time in that same house. We no longer live there. And another serpent of the time at the new house my parents are in. equally as terrifying, and I'll get into that later. But I had done again. I had gotten the top bunk on the bunk bed, and I was sleeping, and it was probably 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was 10 or 11 at the time, and I thought I'd heard somebody say my name, and I woke up. What the hell is going on? So I brushed off and I go back to sleep, and I felt like somebody was in the room with me. I could just feel it. And I hear it again, like, Eric, what the hell? So I sit up and I'm terrified. I was scared, but not in the sense that I was in danger. And the only thing that I could think of was, I'm going crazy. I didn't want to believe paranormal at the time. But I know there's no correlation with the former story. My mother told me that my Uncle Tom, who had been my closest uncle, that was the day that happened, actually near the anniversary of his death. And I don't know if him trying to reach out and communicate with me or not, but very, very interesting. I'll call again. I have better experience to tell, more of a level of spirits than that, because, like I said, me and my friend Eric also had done some paranormal research over time and ghost hunting. We did my parents' house. Those are some very terrifying stories that we also have figured to go along that I can probably share with you.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. The number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. You can also write into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. There's lots of ways to get your stories to us. Also, searching for some more pictures for our next round of seeing ghosts. If you have any ghostly images that you have caught on film, you'd like to share them with the community, please email those over to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we may feature them in a future episode of Seeing Ghosts. Seeing Ghosts, by the way, just one of the many premium extra things that our EPPs get. It's a monthly video program where we go and take a detailed look at images of ghosts and spirits that were caught on tape or film, and we analyze those. There's already a handful of episodes out there, I believe 3 or 4 up there now. But check it out when you become an EPP on the EPP site. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, this is Sarah from Columbus, Ohio again. I called a couple days ago about the story about my grandfather and having a cell phone, and it was my dream where he had called me, kept calling me, and finally told me, like, a message. Anyways, I'm calling again because they said I'd call back with a story about when my cousin passed away. Again, it's another dream. I've never had too much paranormal activity being awake. I've never had that kind of experience, I don't think. Anyways, my dream was about when my cousin passed away when I was about 13. And he was older. He was like 28 at the time. He was a really big, heavy set guy. I think around close to 400 pounds. You know, that's a big health issue. I think that's pretty much the primary reason why he ended up dying. It was a very sudden death. Anyways. He died in, like, November, and a few months prior, my aunt had passed away in August. So my dream was, I had a dream that I was at the funeral, my aunt's funeral. Like, I same funeral place. I remember walking around in my dream and seeing my family, not thinking anything of it, just thinking of having a dream about the funeral I went to. But I look in the casket, and I see a man laying there.
and the face was blurred out. So I thought that was kind of strange. Woke up, didn't think too much of it, just thought it was odd that I had a dream like that, and it wasn't like my aunt in the casket. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't think anything of it, and it turned out to be like a week later, my cousin ended up dying pretty much all of a sudden. I think he had like a heart attack or something along those lines. So I'm not sure if that was paranormal or just a coincidence, but it was kind of strange, very strange. I've always had strange dreams. My dreams are like, I feel like I dream all night, every night. I always have crazy dreams about like ghosts. I don't know if I'm just what I'm scared of, because I've never had any paranormal when I was awake, because I think I wouldn't know what to do. I'd really freak out. But so I don't know if it's just like a nightmare that's just one of my nightmares, but ever since I was younger, I've always had dreams about my house being haunted. I still have dreams about my house being haunted. My husband and I just bought a house in April. So I think that was my biggest fear, like, oh my gosh, is my house going to be haunted? I'm not going to be able to afford to move. So maybe that's why I have so many dreams about, you know, ghosts. But I guess my question is, like, do you think ghosts can haunt you in your dreams? Or just maybe I'm just having a nightmare, like I said, because I've always had that, had those dreams, except even when I was younger, before I even really knew about paranormal things. Like, that wasn't really talked about when I was growing up. I just remember I was used to be very, very scared to be alone. I remember I would have, like, breakdowns and meltdowns just to go and get a shower by myself, and I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. I would make my mom sit in the bathroom while I got a shower, because I used to be so scared, and I don't know why. I never watched scary movies when I was younger. You know, my mom wouldn't let me because I was already very, like, scared when I was little. Like, she never would, you know, I never was around scary things. So either maybe it is paranormal kind of thing with the ghost streams, things being haunted, or like I said, I'm just kind of a scaredy cat, which is kind of am. But anyways, I would just like to know what your guys' thoughts are about these dreams I have. Like I said, thank you for what you do, and I love your show, and my husband and I are EPPs. We listen to your show almost every day, especially when we're at work. Again, thank you. Have a nice day.
Sarah, thank you for the call, and thank you and your husband for being EPPs. We greatly appreciate that. That, of course, is what keeps this thing on the air. Thoughts on this specific incident? Is there something to do with your dreams and reality? I would beg to say probably yes. It's, you know, we all have weird dreams. I certainly do all the time, and if they all came to fruition, I think, you know, we would be in a very scary place. But when you're having those dreams that are kind of once in a lifetime or kind of once in a very long while, and then something immediately thereafter happens, like you're having the dream of the face blurred out in the casket, and then shortly thereafter you had a family member pass away, I think that there is some sort of connection there. There's something that is speaking to you. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just trying to prepare you for whatever may be coming. Or if there's some sort of message, that's something you really are going to have to look at more in depth when examining those dreams that you are having. But I think there is certainly some sort of a connection there. Phone number 855-853-4802 to call into the show. Share your real ghost story with us. All right. Continuing on with today's episode, and I'm looking over in where Jen normally sits, and you know who's there?
Who?
It's this little redheaded girl. And you know what her name is?
Yeah.
What?
Harper.
That's right. I know it's not Halloween, and the last time you were in here was on Halloween, and you shared your story. Remember sharing your no-noggin story?
Uh-huh.
Do you have any other ghost stories that you'd like to share with the rest of the world here today?
Yeah.
What do you have for us? You got to talk into the microphone, sweetheart. What would you like to share? What sort of ghost story would you like to share with the audience today?
Well, I don't know the words.
You don't know the words to the ghost story?
No.
Oh.
What about the no-noggin one? Is there a part two to no-noggin?
Yeah.
How did that go? What happened there?
I'm going to start over with the head.
Okay, you start over with the head and share the no-noggin story.
Last night, my mama saw me and I took the no-noggin head and the no-noggin head was gone.
Okay.
And the last thing that no-noggin got the man with the yellow hat was got him.
The man with the yellow hat got no-noggin.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that Curious George's friend?
Yeah.
I forgot what his name is. Well, there you go. Thank you for sharing the update to No Noggin. I know a lot of us have been really wondering and hoping that you would come here and share that with us. So thank you, Harper, for joining me for a small, brief moment here on the show today.
Now share yours.
Now share my ghost story?
Yeah.
I don't have any ghost stories.
Yes, you do.
I do?
Yeah.
Like what?
Talking about your mom.
About my mom? I don't think my mom has any ghost stories. Does she?
Yeah.
She walks through a cemetery quite a bit. She likes to go walk through that spooky cemetery that we always talk about here on the show, but I don't think she's seen any ghosts. Yet. Harper, thank you for coming in and talking with us today.
No, everybody become an EPP.
There we go, yes. She listens and she knows Daddy all too well. Thank you, Harper, for coming in on today's episode. It's always special to have you in here. Why don't you go back and go watch Daniel Tiger or something, because we're going to have to play some phone calls that are probably not a good idea before nap. All right. Headphones are off. We can go back to our calls now. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. This is Juan out here from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My stories are from this area, mostly. I've had a couple instances in my life where something paranormal or something that I just can't explain happened. But the first one was when I was a kid. I must have been like 6 or 7 years old, and we moved into an apartment building that had about 4 apartments. We lived on the lower one, which was facing the street, and we lived there for about 2 years. And one night, me and my sister at the time we shared a bed. I would sleep on one side and she would sleep on the other side. And I can remember this like it was yesterday. And I woke up like at night, somebody was calling my name. And I used to stay, my head was like next to a heater type thing where a vent, and the heat would come out from there. But I don't remember when it was, if it was in the summer or in the winter, but I clearly heard my name a couple times, and it was enough to wake me up. And then afterwards, I realized that somebody was calling my name, and it wasn't a scary voice. It was just somebody just calling my name out, like, I don't know, not in agony or anything like that, but it was just like, Juan, you know, just, I don't know how to describe it, but it woke me up, and at the time, it didn't even scare me. But I actually was like, you know, I was groggy, and I woke up, and I looked around, and I realized that it was coming from the vent, and I imagined that I thought, you know, my dad's probably, I figured, oh, my dad's calling me. So I got up and I walked to outside of the room, and I went to my dad's room, and he was sleeping, and I don't know, I'm just a kid, and I pushed him and I asked him, hey, Dad, you know, are you calling me? And he was like, no, go back to bed. You know, and that's when I got scared. You know, and the vent system all led to the basement, you know, and the basement was, and you know, we, and this was in the city, so this was, the basement was locked. The basement area was locked. So, you know, and that happened, and I, I went right to sleep and all that, but later on, like, the next day, and then after that, I always wondered what that was, you know, and I know it wasn't in my, you know, I know it wasn't my imagination. You know, because like I said, I heard it. It woke me up, and I heard it afterwards. And that was one. Then this was, must have been like, we moved around a couple times when I was a younger kid. So this was, must have been like when I was 10 or 11. And we lived in a haunted house. I believe now, and I think at the time, my parents knew that too, but they didn't want to tell us, and they didn't want to, you know, and scare us. So a couple of times what we heard was like people upstairs like running, like actually like running fast, like one side to the next, but there was nobody outside. Nobody lived up there. It was just the attic type. And you could, like, at night or in the day, you just hear people or like kids or I don't know what, but it just sounded like people were running up there. And like I said, I would mention it to my mom or my dad, and they would just kind of like, it's, you know, stop lying or stop making stuff up, you're scaring your brother or your sister. But you know, a couple times we heard, not only me but my sister, I know my mom heard, you know, like people upstairs, you know. And we moved out of there eventually. Not because of the ghost, but I'm one of the reasons was the ghost, but we moved out from there. Then one thing that happened to me recently, man, was it was probably like 3 years ago, and I worked at a restaurant for about a year, and the restaurant has a banquet in the bottom. It's huge. It's a huge banquet. Imagine the restaurant on the first floor, and the restaurant's on the first floor, and the banquet's on the bottom, in like a underground type. You would have to walk down, like a basement, and it's big. It's a huge place, and for weddings, you know, stuff like that. And it's real nice, you know. And they know, some of the people that've been there for a while admit, and I didn't know at the time, that it's haunted. They've said rumors that it's haunted, you know, something like that, and or something's going on down there. But one of the cooks that I was real tight with, he told me one day, he was like, man, because here's the thing, I used to go down there by myself and clean up after a party. We would put the tables away, we'd vacuum the rugs, we'd clean the bathroom, stuff like that, right? So one of the guys, the cook, he used to tell me, like, man, dude, you know, how do you go down there by yourself? And I was like, what's the big deal? And he's like, man, every time I go down there, I get a bad vibe, man. I don't like going down there. And after that, it kind of got me thinking, like, yeah, he's probably right. You know, I shouldn't be going down there by myself. And so this one day, you know, when I used to, it was two of us. I would usually go down there first, or the other person would go down there first and start getting ready. So our work at the restaurant wouldn't back up on us. So one would go first, and then we'd finish up in the back, in the top, and then we'd all just go clean up the banquet together. So I went, and I got in a habit later on of putting my earbuds on, and you know, just hearing music. And I was vacuuming, and my back was towards the bathrooms, and you know, I didn't have the music that loud because if some for some reason I couldn't, I want somebody would call me from upstairs, you know, my manager or whatever would call me, I would hear them. So I would have it, you know, I would have them, you know, pretty low. And out of nowhere, I heard the door, like, close or open, you know, just open or, you know, whatever. So I looked, and I didn't see anybody leaving the bathroom. And may I remind you, this is after a party. So I'm thinking, you know, I look around, I see nobody. I'm thinking, you know, he probably went in because I didn't see nobody leaving. So I assumed somebody went in the bathroom. And I waited, you know, I had to clean the bathroom. So I waited, you know, 10, 15 minutes to see if that person, somebody would leave again. So nothing happened. So I went in and the lights were off. You know, and this is the type of bathroom where you walk in and then the lights turn on. So the lights were off. And when I walked in a little bit more, the lights turned on. So nobody was there. And that spooked me. That really got me a little frightened, you know. And I immediately left, went back upstairs. And I waited for my other coworker to come down. Later, after we finished, after we were outside in the parking lot, I told him what happened. And, you know, that was a pretty scary experience. But hopefully these stories make it, man. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your experiences from around my homeland in the area of Wisconsin. Milwaukee, not very far from right where I grew up, but an hour's drive. So not all that that far. You can, in my mind's eye, I can picture some of these facilities, some of the banquet areas, some of all that. There's a very distinct feel to some of that up there, and a lot of it very old, which is neat. I like that. A lot of it, I remember growing up and you know, the land of supper clubs is really what Wisconsin is, and the banquet facilities. So much character, so many things that, you know, have gone on in these places, from weddings to baptism dinners to Easter brunches to Christmas dinners to the celebrations to funerals. There's a lot of energy in those places, so they're always, I think, going to be hotbeds for hauntings. Thank you again for the call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller and hear your real ghost story here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. How are y'all doing? It's fine. February. It's going to be March. This is Dan Cormany from Nighttime Paranormal, and I have an incident to share with you. It actually happened. That just happened, actually. It's February 25th at 7:07 p.m., I believe, and I'm sitting on a road. Actually, I'm sitting off of a road called Six Mount Zion Road in Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm sorry if I rush through this. I don't have much time. I'm crunched for time. I've got some work to get done. Anyway, so I decided to take a drive down this road because Six Mount Zion is in Williamsburg, Virginia. It's close to Stonehouse Glen, which is near where KTP headquarters is. Don't sell my information, please. Haha. driving down this road. It's extremely dark now. It's around 7 o'clock, and I guess it's very dark here now. And I must emphasize it. It's extremely dark. And I had my headlights on, but I have high, low, and then minimal beams. So I had the minimal beams on, which is extremely low headlights. They're illegally used on public roads. They're even illegally used in neighborhood roads. But I have it on just to avoid possible light contamination, just to keep it safe, just to keep safe rolling. It is it's legal to drive down that road. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not. I've drifted away from the ways of breaking and entering and trespassing and things of that nature, and I'm taking a very professional approach to it now. And so, as I was saying before, I'm driving down this road, Six Mount Zion Road, very dark. And there have been a lot of stories about this road. People seeing shadow figures, seeing deformed trees, seeing strange-looking animals, things like that. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to see if I can see this, whatever they're talking about. Because as a paranormal investigator, it's feel like it's my obligation to investigate small areas like that, and I did so. So I'm in the middle of driving down the road, and to my wandering eyes, I indeed see a shadow figure. It manifests out of the tree line and quickly dash across the road. And it was very compelling to me because I was very doubtful that I would see anything because, you know, in Williamsburg, it's a haunted area, but you don't always see exactly what people are talking about. Very interesting. Who is this? I apologize. I'm sitting on the side of a road, and I'm awaiting for one of my partners to arrive, so I apologize if I randomly say who is this. Anyway. So, I apologize for jumping back and forth. It's been a very hectic day. I've been very busy with interviews and things of that nature, so I apologize if I'm very hectic. I will get on with the story now. And then I see this shadow figure, and it's very compelling because Williamsburg in general is a very notorious area for paranormal stories, ghost stories, things of that nature. My Nights in Paranormal has investigated Colonial Williamsburg, which I will call in and tell you about very soon, as soon as I can get all the information together. I believe we spoke over that already. Anywho, it was just very compelling to see a paranormal entity manifest like it's said to. Because most of the time, things don't just happen when you hear about it. That's really all I've got with that story for now. I hope you choose to use it. I've got more stories to come, and I will share those as soon as possible. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
There you go. That's how our show tends to work. Earlier in the show, we had another story about some sort of entity making itself known by running out in front of a vehicle out of a tree line. It's just funny how that all kind of comes together without pre-planning. You know, because we don't like, oh, we're going to put a couple of these same theme stories together on this show. No, it all seems to organically work for some reason on such a paranormal topic, if you will. Thank you for sharing your experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We do greatly appreciate that. Let's take a call here. I believe Eric is calling back in. Yes.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I just called. This is Eric from Greenville again, but I had a different story, and I wanted to split it up just in case it was too long, but it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the story that I just left. It was a story about me and my friends going into this house and us hearing noises and then seeing shadow on a videotape after we had went. But anyway, so one of my friends that I went into that house with, we decided to take a road trip to the beach, and we drove all night to get to the beach. We slept a little bit during the day, not much. It was a little bit too hot to sleep in the car. So, you know, we stayed up all night, driven to go to the beach, about 4 hours. And then we stayed there and got a little bit of sleep, but not too much. And so we decided to drive back at night. We just stayed for a day. So we are going back to from Charleston, South Carolina, to Columbia, South Carolina. And we were staying with a friend of ours that we had, you know, that we know who lived in Columbia. Also a friend of ours that we went and tried to go on many ghostly adventures with, just going to creepy houses, you know, graveyards at night, that kind of thing, just to see if anything would happen, but not really expecting it. And that night we had planned to go on another hunt, I guess you would say. I don't remember the name of the woods, but in Columbia there's like these backwoods, and there's kind of like the typical like railroad tracks that everyone says, like, if you stop there, like, you'll push your car off, or it won't restart, or you'll see handprints on the back of your car. So that kind of like typical thing. So, you know, we decided to go, and we're driving through these woods, and I don't know if it was the lack of sleep, but me and my other friend that we drove all night to to the beach were freaking out. We were like just paranoid of everything. We thought we were seeing things in the trees, and like, again, I don't know if it's a thing about Colombia, but it's in those backwoods, it's like super dark, and it's almost as if your mind's playing tricks on you, because everything you see, you think, wow, that's something very strange. But then on the other side, you're like, no, I don't really know. But it just kind of like increased this paranoia that I was feeling, definitely. So we drive through the woods, and kind of freaked out the whole time. And we get to the railroad track, and friend, you know, just pulls up on him, cuts the car off. And we're looking around and don't really see anything. I didn't want to get out of the car. Nobody did, actually, just in case anything were to happen. And so we're at the railroad track, and nobody's seeing anything. But then I think I see like a shadow walk up. The tracks are kind of like up on a hill. So I think that I see a shadow figure like kind of walk up one embankment across the tracks and then go back down. But it was like, wasn't like a normal walking pattern, almost like a sped up, like up and down kind of thing. And, you know, but again, I was like, I was just playing tricks on me. There's nothing there. So, but I was really, really freaked out. And then we get back to my friend's house, and that we were staying with in Colombia, and his dad was a pastor, so we're staying in this parsonage. And I had been to his house like one or two times before, and it was creepy. I did not like that house. You just got this weird feeling in it. You felt like something was around the corner, something was watching you. And again, like, I was like, I think it's just my sleep deprivation. I'm just chalking it up to my mind playing tricks on me. So we get into the spare bedroom that was at the house, and it was almost as if a grandma had decorated it, like, you know, kind of like an old bed and an old dresser with a mirror on it, and a closet door with a mirror on it. And my other friend had like passed out, just fell asleep, because he had drove down and back. He did all the driving, so he had just passed out. He was so tired. I, on the other hand, my mind just started racing, and I just was like, something is in this room, something is in this house. I saw the mirrors, and I didn't want to look at them, but I didn't want to look away, because I didn't want to, like, you know, look at it and see nothing there, and then like close my eyes and then open up my eyes back up and then something be there. So I didn't want to take my eyes off the mirror, but I was also terrified of looking into the mirror. And I just kept hearing these little noises, and I just felt like I was seeing things, or like something was around me. And then all of a sudden, it's like I hear something start to shuffle down the hallway, and then I hear this big like knock on the door. And I like woke my friend up. I was like, dude, wake up, there's something in this room. He was like, there's nothing here, go to sleep. I was like, dude, I just heard that. He was like, heard what? I was like, that giant knock. He's like, I thought that was you. I was like, no man, something just shuffled up to this door and knocked on it. We have got to get out of here. And so I called my friend who was in the next room, and I was like, dude, you come here right now and get us out of this room. There's something in here. I'm not getting out of bed, but I'm not going to sleep or doing anything, you know, you have got to come get us out of this room. So he comes and gets and like takes us out, and he was like, what's wrong, guys? Like, something just knocked on that door. He was like, oh, so you heard it too? And we were like, what are you talking about? He's like, ever since I've been a kid, like, weird things have happened in this house. He's like, I've seen my closet door open and then glowing red eyes look out of it. He's like, I've had weird stuff like this happen all the time, so I understand. And we were like, thank goodness, can we go stay somewhere else? He's like, yeah, sure, come stay in my room. So we get into his room, and he's like, don't worry about it, I think everything's going to be fine, you know, just try to go to sleep. Well, I'm laying in the floor closest to, he's in the bed, the friend's in the bed, and then who's at the house. He's in the bed. The friend who drove is on one side of the floor, and I'm on the other side of the floor. And I'm trying to lay on my back to sleep, and I can't take my eyes off of the closet in his room. Like, I just kept feeling like something was going to come out of it. I was going to see eyes like he was talking about. I got so paranoid, and like, I literally felt like somebody was watching me from that closet. So I flip over, I wake my friend up, his room this is, and I'm like, can I, like, you got anything I can do? Like, I can't sleep. I feel like something's looking at me from the closet. He's like, well, you can use my computer. And I'm like, okay, what's the password? And he told me something that was wrong, but he was asleep again before I could, like, try to ask him. So I just stared at this computer login screen until I fell asleep. Because I had rolled over on my stomach, and I was basically, like, just looking under the bed and looking at the computer screen, because I was like, there's something in there in the closet, and it's looking at me. I know it is, but there's nothing else I can do, so I'm just going to stare at the computer screen until, like, I fall asleep. So finally fell asleep, and at the first, like, sign of light, like, I woke up, woke my friends up. I was like, we got to get out of this room. I'm telling my friend that, you know, we were going back to Greenville. I was like, we got to get home. Like, I can't be here any longer. So we're, you know, eating some food on his couch, and I just feel like I was just so, like, overwhelmed with the feeling that something was going to walk around the hallway, or something was going to, like, just pop up out of nowhere. Like, that house just gave me the worst feeling in the world. And like, I couldn't stand it. And really, the feeling didn't go away until a couple of days after we had left and got back home. But nothing happened after that. Nothing creepy. Nothing that I felt like followed me. So I kind of eased off a little bit and went back down to see my friend a couple times. Went to the house and got kind of the same feeling, but never stayed the night at his house again. You know, even to the point where I was driving 30 minutes to go stay at another friend in Columbia's house. Just something to say at the parsonage. Yeah. Really love to hear your thoughts on that one. I know nothing really happened. It was more what was going on in my mind, but it kind of stuck with me. So, you know, like I said, just kind of curious what you guys think, and love the show. You guys are awesome. Have a good one.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And we already have a title for the show, but had we not, I think the title could have been just Go With Your Gut, because that is a story that truly, truly reflects that sentiment right there. Thank you for sharing those two stories with us on today's show. We do greatly appreciate it. Well, that wraps things up for today. I'm going to go take some more Dayquil and hope for the best, because... Oh, it's been a miserable cold. Jenny didn't have to hear me complain about it today, at least. She's got it now, too. So it's just going around the Brewski household. But I didn't want to not get a show out to you. And, of course, there will, of course, be an EPP episode for you this week. So look forward to that this Friday when that gets released. All right, until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Folks knew the Colonel approved of his new Honey Chili Crisp and Jalapeno Ranch sauces the moment he tasted them and said... That's right. No notes. Just absolute silence. Turns out some flavors don't need explaining. They just need dipping. It's saucy season at KFC. With new Honey Chili Crisp and Jalapeno Ranch, get dipping with a boneless bucket today.
Prices and participation vary.